Chapter 5. Xinglu Ridge 2. Unexpectedly at your crossroads. Fortunately for them, though, these corpses are such low-level ones that it almost isn't worth the effort to kill them. In fact, all they have to do is take one look at Lan Wangji before immediately lurching off in the other direction as far as they can go. Both Jiang Cheng and Wei Wuxian can't help but double over in laughter at that. "Oh, heavens! What a mood!" wheezes Wei Wuxian, earning himself a glare from Lan Wangji. "What? It's true. Anyone who looks at you would have assumed you'd been cursed to step on Legos all your life." Lan Wangji's left eye twitches just slightly, which only makes the other boys laugh harder. "Wei Ying, I think we should give him a break," Jiang Cheng finally manages through his chortling. "He can't help it that he has a resting bitch face." "You're so right," says Wei Wuxian, leaning onto his shirty for support as he tries to gasp for air. "He's probably doing us a favor. Every time he tries to smile, the Emperor of Heaven will kill another kitten. And we can't have that, can we?"
"Are you two quite finished?"
demands Lan Wangji, only the faintest hint of impatience in his voice.
"We still have body parts to look for."
Of course, says Wei Wuxian, waving an airy hand before sauntering towards the trees. "Mr. Spock," he adds, which makes Jiang Cheng burst into fresh cackles.
"Immature,"
sniffs Lan Wangji, brushing past them both. Adorable creature. Okay, but if LWJ is Mr. Spock, does that make WWX Kirk? Sinking or swimming? Yes, because then JWY is Bones. Adorable creature. I am 17,001% fine with this. # Star Trek. # Spurk. # 49WNC. # Comcult. # Wangxian. # The Fix Write Themselves, you guys.
"I think we are lost."
Jiang Cheng groans. "We are not lost," he insists.
"We have passed the same rock 3 times already,"
retorts Lan Wangji. "We've been following this compass," says Wei Wuxian, waving the standard compass from his equipment Jiangkung bag. The biohazard one is clipped to it with a carabiner. "I remember the first of the golden stars being northwest of where the holding chamber was, so..."
"That compass is useless,"
Lan Wangji points out.
"It changes direction every 2 steps.
"Okay, then. How do you propose we get out of this?" demands Wei Wuxian. "If we pass the same rock 3 times, then we're going around in circles."
"Or we are trapped in a maze array," says Lan Wangji. "Such things are not uncommon near old barrows, which are also quite numerous in the Xinglu Ridge."
"I thought all the barrows were evacuated," says Wei Wuxian, turning the compass upside down with a frown. "I mean, not that it matters, since the arena wouldn't actually cover an actual burial site, but still..."
"Think about what the Game Masters want," replies Lan Wangji. "They want us to reconstruct a body that has been scattered throughout the arena. How is this not related to the Qinghe Barrows?"
"I never said it wasn't." Wei Wuxian steps back, raising his hands in an appeasing gesture. "But so what? We might be in a maze array. How do you get out of it?" There's a sudden sound of a scream. Lan Wangji purses his lips and begins to walk towards it. Wei Wuxian and Jiang Cheng follow, until they finally break into a clearing where another cultivator is being attacked by a severed arm. For a moment, the three of them only stare, dumbfounded, as the other cultivator tries to wrest themselves free from the arm. Then, as one, they lunge into action. Jiang Cheng and Wei Wuxian pull the arm free from the other cultivator, while Lan Wangji unclips his biohazard bag. However, as soon as the arm is freed from its first target, it latches immediately onto another, namely Wei Wuxian, whose vision bursts into stars of pain as the arm tries to forcibly meld itself with his own. Fortunately, Lan Wangji opens the biohazard bag at that moment, so Wei Wuxian plunges his arm into it and lets the bag's energy separate the evil arm from his own.
"Fuck, that hurt," he wheezes. "Thanks, Lanchan."
Lan Wangji closes the bag tightly, and they turn to the other cultivator. It's Su Shi, looking rather shaken.
"Do you require assistance?"
I'm fine.
Both Su Shi and Wei Wuxian say at the same time. Su Shi crosses his arms, refusing to meet Lan Wangji's gaze. The bitterness about losing his title must run deep. "So, that's body part one," says Jiang Cheng. "What do we have left?"
"Two legs, another arm, the torso, the head," lists Lan Wangji thoughtfully. "I imagine it must be a function of the game itself, but the hand is not nearly as vengeful as I had anticipated."
"You can tell when a hand is vengeful?" demands Su Shi. "How do you even figure that out? Does it flip you the bird?" Wei Wuxian's not sure why his hackles are rising at the sheer disrespect in the other competitor's voice. "Anyone can tell," he snaps. "It's to do with the amount of resentful energy it carries. But maybe you can't sense resentful energy because you're marinating in it yourself." Lan Wangji's eyes widen briefly, but he quickly recovers.
"Competitor Wei is correct," he says. "The amount of resentful energy carried by a corpse determines its ferocity and malice. This one is angry, slightly vengeful, but it could be a lot more dangerous. I imagine it has something to do with Competitor Wei's comments from last year."
"I didn't say anything about making the spirits less vengeful," splutters Wei Wuxian. "In fact, I welcome vengeful corpses. I've always wanted to experience the zombie apocalypse."
"I mean that the Game Masters this year are trying to create a challenge with a solution that is not ethically dubious," states Lan Wangji flatly.
He hooks the bag with the hand to his own.
"We may not have cleared the maze array just yet, though."
He's cut off at the sound of several flares shooting into the sky. Through the trees, the shadow of an ancient castle can barely be seen. "There," says Wei Wuxian, and leads the way. Saddling up to fight my anxiety. @Jiang_Wayne. "Maybe you can't sense resentful energy because you're marinating in it yourself." Snatched. Bald. Owned.gif. #Wangxian. #49WNC. #CompCult. Wangxian is life. @PonWeiWeiYing. @Jiang_Wayne. "I know, right? He was literally like, only I get to backtalk LWJ." #Wangxian. #49WNC. #CompCult. Mall @Dying. @WWX_1Fan. @Jiang_Wayne. @PonWeiWeiYing. WWX really be out there snatching wigs for his rival slash BF like that. #Wangxian. #49WNC. #CompCult. The first thing Wei Wuxian notices about the castle is that it is completely empty. The second thing he notices is that, despite the emptiness, the torches are lit and some of the rooms look like they've been recently disturbed. The bags of several other competitors are strewn across the floor, not to mention several corpses in varying states of decay. Wei Wuxian grimaces a little as he steps over the corpses, examining a black sarcophagus in their midst.
"Fascinating,"
says Lan Wangji from next to him. "Yes, Mr. Spock?" Wei Wuxian asks. Lan Wangji glares at him, but continues.
"This appears to be a Tinghe chieftain saber hall."
"Looks like your average fancy tomb to me," replies Wei Wuxian. There's a sudden hiss, which causes him to stumble and knock over the sarcophagus. "Fuck, sorry!" He pauses, staring at the saber that had fallen out of the wooden box. It appears, for all intents and purposes, to be the only thing in it.
Like I said, says Lanwangji, smugly, a saber hall. Every other sarcophagus you see here will also contain only swords.
And I thought people making social media profiles for their pets was weird,
mutters Wei Wuxian. Okay, so the Qinghe chieftains made mausoleums for their swords. Why?
Well, if you're a bunch of nomadic raiders, you probably killed a lot of things, Jiang Cheng points out. Which means the weapons you use could potentially be soaked in resentful blood and become vengeful spirits.
But if the swords are vengeful, then why isn't the one that just got knocked over attacking us? Demands Su Shi.
There's a rattling hiss, and Wei Wuxian turns to see something break out of the wall.
Because there's usually something else keeping it at bay, he realizes, as a corpse lumbers out of the cracks in the wall towards them. He draws Sui Bian immediately, getting in front of the rest of the group.
Wei Ying, no,
begins Lan Wangji, but it's already too late. Before he'd even started talking, Wei Wuxian had driven the sword into the chest of the corpse, all the way up to the hilt. And then immediately after, his world goes black. The smell of earth permeates his nostrils as he struggles for air, the pressure of the space he'd been drawn into closing in on all sides. On his wrist, the monitor gauging his vitals and location starts to beep, warning him of his immediate timeout. But just before the timeout happens, a flash of blue light shines through the darkness, and moments later, the wall of black soil crumbles into a heap at his feet. Coughing up lungfuls of dirt, Wei Wuxian staggers back into the hall, only to be caught by Jiang Cheng.
What the fuck was that? His shirty demands. You shouldn't have killed that corpse!
I didn't realize,
mutters Wei Wuxian. He looks over at Lan Wangji, who suddenly seems extremely preoccupied with cleaning his sword.
Hey, Lan Chan, did I hear you calling me by my actual name back there?
I have no idea what you're referring to,
replies Lan Wangji coldly, sheathing his sword.
Do not do that again.
Roger that,
says Wei Wuxian, saluting him as he straightens himself out. Turning to the wall, he notices that a couple skulls and bones have fallen out beside him.
So, there's bodies in the wall.
Also a staple of Qinghe chieftain saber halls,
says Lan Wangji simply.
It balances the energy between the swords and the corpses. The sabers are kept docile by the corpses, and the corpses do not transform because of the sabers.
Jiang Cheng sighs.
But if this balance is so critical, then what the fuck are we doing here disrupting any of it?
The bag at Lan Wangji's side rustles at that. The boys all stare at it, especially as it starts to move towards a certain direction. Lan Wangji raises an eyebrow at them, as if asking if they'd like to join him in following the bag. Wei Wuxian nods, and they head in the direction the bag points out to them, just to enter another sword room sporting exactly one low-level corpse on a leash next to Nie Huaisang, who is bent over a pile of ransacked bags, digging for something.
Gotcha, he says, before catching sight of them and freezing. I can explain!
You are watching the 49th World Night Hunting Championships, Night 1. Cryptid Hunter. NHS! Irate Hearse. 07! ILU LWJ. Found him! Big shocked face! Mistress Whatever. Does it even count if he was standing out in the open? Irate Hearse. Shrug, Kalmoji! So, says Wei Wuxian, crossing his arms. Explaining? They've moved out of the castle now and are setting up camp within walking distance of it. The trees are dark and silent now that they're well past midnight, and next to Wei Wuxian, Lan Wangji is hiding yawn after yawn behind his hand. It's almost endearing, seeing something human crop up in such a deified figure. Wei Wuxian tries not to think too hard about it. Well, the castle is modeled off of a Nie family sword hall, says Nie Huaisang, fiddling with the clips of the bags he has next to him. Somehow, he'd managed to ransack the other hand and leg from competitors who'd timed out. Since, you know, many of them were chieftains of the Qinghe back in the day. Even now, there's kind of a family curse surrounding fighting and violence. We excel at it to an unusual degree, but even then, too much of it results in health problems. He pauses. The past 6 family members on the board of directors of Dao Enterprises have all died of heart failure. But what does that have to do with constructing graves for your swords? Asks Wei Wuxian. Is it really to counteract the angry spirits trapped in these swords? Nie Huaisang nods. The corpses in the castle are sensitive to yang energy. Usually the sabers provide that. But whenever these halls are entered by outsiders, they have to make sure their yang energy is sufficiently dampened. Hence, my corpse buddy. He tugs at the rope holding the low-level corpse, which slumps pathetically against a tree a couple feet away. You're not worried that thing's going to try to kill you? Asks Susha. It's really bad at doing anything, says Nie Huaisang, which, honestly, I can relate. I think I might give him a name. Am I correct in assuming, then, that archaeologists and grave excavators must take precautions, then, when they are studying these barrows? Lan Wangqi cuts in suddenly. Nie Huaisang nods. Yep, they put on face masks and take spirit dampening pills, he replies. Also, the government recently started banning barrow excavations because they didn't want to disrupt the balance. So there's still a lot of real barrows out there whose contents we know nothing about because we're not allowed to go inside anymore. Sad day for archaeology, mutters Wei Wuxian. But no sooner does he say that, does Lan Wangqi's bag twitch in his direction. All eyes fall towards it, especially as it starts yanking the other bag, and Lan Wangqi with it. Heavens, I wish Hong Guanjun had his Guqin here, says Nie Huaisang. Maybe then we could figure out what that hand is. Hey! The other bags are also moving, too, inching towards Wei Wuxian. Lan Wangji unclips his bag, and it goes flying straight at Wei Wuxian, punching him in the solar plexus. Rude! Exclaims Jiang Cheng, rushing to steady Wei Wuxian. The other bags follow suit. Jiang Cheng has to draw his sword to try to ward them off. Are you all right? As well as someone that just got punched by a Jiangkun bag could be, mutters Wei Wuxian, ducking away from the attacking bags and glaring at Lan Wangji. Can't you do something about this? Lan Wangji hums something under his breath. The bags tremble before going still. Well, that was close, says Jiang Cheng, patting Wei Wuxian's shoulder. Then he suddenly notices something and frowns, pushing Wei Wuxian out to arm's distance. Aying, can you lift up your shirt? What? Demands Wei Wuxian, finally realizing I'm the hotter brother. Shut up, Jiang Cheng shoves him. Just lift it. With a grimace, Wei Wuxian unzips his jacket and lifts the shirt underneath. Then gasps go around the camp as they see the dark, bruise-like mark blossoming across his chest. Wei Ying, says Lan Wangqi, his voice grave. You have a curse mark.